If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the one divine light that illumines all minds with truth. Tonight our seminar topic is, what purpose does our spiritual amnesia and physical life serve? So, I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So again, what purpose does our spiritual amnesia and physical life really serve? Did you ever think about that? Well, sure you have. We all have. What's the purpose of all these shenanigans we have to go through? So let's integrate ourselves with our purpose for this evening, which is always to reveal a greater awareness of who we are, why we're here, and how to fulfill that purpose that burns within us and never really is lost to our awareness. It's that nagging push that comes from within to do something, that there's some purpose that we've come to fulfill. And it won't let us alone until we're on purpose with our purpose. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward and anoint yourself with a realization of your purpose for your life. You know what it is because there's an inner knower in each one of us that has never forgotten, that is part of the very omniscience of God. You can connect to that part anytime you wish. But it's not a passive approach. You need to move with your intention into the knowing that you have. If you don't know what that knowing is, you can prime the pump by writing down a question and then acting as if you already have the answer. You write it down. Even if you have to make it up, you'll be surprised at the wisdom that comes forward when you call it forward. But you are the one that sets the limit on that knowing. If you constantly defer your knowing to that of another, to a reader or a psychic or a friend or even your spiritual teacher, you won't probably make the effort to evoke your own wisdom, your own direct knowing. But if you don't do that, it's going to remain latent and quiescent because we have to self-actualize. We have to stir the kettle of our being until that golden wisdom surfaces, that innate knowing that we all have. There's not a single person on the planet that doesn't have access to the inner knower with a capital K. So again, let's take a deep breath and make it okay for you to connect with your own knowing and ask for the activation of that which would be your revelation this evening, as we work with this information that's flowing for tonight, and make it your own by using it in your own way. You can always access the archives and listen to these seminars as many times as you like. It's entirely free. And you may have to, because we go into some very, very deep topics that need more than just a surface hearing. They are meant to be applied in the stirring up of your own wisdom, your own self-actualizing potential, and outing it into your daily life. I often say it has to get down in your sneakers, and you have to walk it out, otherwise it's not real for you. It sits on top of your head as some nice concept that you play with mentally. But comprehending something intellectually and actually embodying and living it as your own are two very different things. So don't allow yourself to get log-jammed in information to where you don't have any applicable application in your daily life. So what purpose does our spiritual amnesia and physical plane life, what purpose does it serve? Since our last seminar, have you experienced any of the light episodes we mentioned, such as seeing more light around objects or people or trees or mountaintops or outlines, little golden outlines that you may see when you look slightly askance? If you look at something directly, you'll find that you don't see as well as if you look slightly askance or with your eyes slightly unfocused. And then you begin to see beyond the physical to the light, that all things manifest. There's nothing at all in all of creation that is not a manifestation of the living light of God. Everything. Nothing is insentient whatsoever. Everything has consciousness, even if it's very, very rudimentary, such as within, for example, a rock. So have you worked at all with the ability you have to see beyond the material forms into the dimensions of light? Maybe you were caught in the recent snowstorm. You know, you can practice looking into the rain or into the falling snow and transcend beyond time. Did you ever do that? Did you ever lie on your back at night and look up into the sky, whether it was filled with clouds or plain blue, or you were looking through snow or rain? Or however you use that practice, use it to transcend time. Use it to transcend into spacious presence, into that clarity, that rigpa, that is boundless being. Use everything in your life to go deeper into the awakened state. And did you remember this week to stay more conscious of your perfect safety within the heart of God? Did you find yourself more present and more aware of the divine in yourself and others? So anyway, what's the deal? Why do we have to fall asleep and totally forget our identity? Our true identity. What is the purpose of all this bother to awaken and remember and integrate our divine self? Why? What's the deal? What purpose, if any, does this caper amidst shadows and phantoms of illusion serve? Bottom line, why are we here? And what exactly are we accomplishing? Well, for one thing, we're here to get the very thing that most of us are trying to get rid of, which is a false sense of self, the ego mind, egocentricity, the false sense of identity. But let me tell you a dream I had. This must have been, gosh, back in the early 70s. I was taking a dream class at Peace Theological Seminary, where I was living and teaching and studying. And I had a dream where I was being chased by this woman. And finally I confronted her. And I remember I had been hiding, you know, running from her and running into different rooms and slamming the door and locking them, but she always seemed to find me. Finally, I thought, you know, wait a minute. I opened the door and I said, what do you want? And I saw it was myself, but in kind of a disheveled, misshapen caricature of myself. And I knew instantly it was my false self. And I lunged at it. And tried to attack, and I said, I hate you, you know, and I was trying to destroy and kill her. And all of a sudden, I stopped, you know, I felt pity for this being that I was shredding in my rage. And she looked up at me and she said, I only wanted your love. And then I realized that I, as a soul, a divine, perfect emanation of God, had come to earth specifically to experience the shadow of the not-self, that all the learning and value that I have attained in this lifetime has come through my false self. I knew of the divine. What I didn't know was of the shadow, the duality, the polarity, the opposite side, the forgetful, sleeping, ego-mind-generated identity. That was the repository of all the value that I had gleaned over goodness knows how many incarnations. And when I realized that, I was absolutely shocked. And I took her in my arms, and I held her, and I cradled her, and I tried to restore her and heal her and beg her forgiveness, because I didn't realize her value until that moment. So consider this, that my story is also your story, that you came into this valley of forgetfulness, this place of complete spiritual amnesia, to have the experience of that very polar opposite of what these lower dimensional realms are meant to enable us to experience. Just have some tea with that thought. And remember, the next time you want to go into full ranting rage over some flaw that you have an issue with within your own behavior or your own self, however you're put together and however you operate, the next time you're ready to go into a rage against that part of yourself and start castigating and bad-mouthing yourself, remember what Athena told you tonight. Remember that your value, everything that has produced growth, insight, and value, has come because you have a false self, an ego mind, and a worldview predicated on separation. That's very new to you and I as divine beings. Very new. And we came here to experience, but not to stay in that level, but to transform it into full divine awareness. So, the truth be known, just about every one of us reaches that point when we're really just plain tired, especially old souls. And they just want this to all be over. And most imagine it will be different somehow, somewhere else, anywhere else but here and now on this earth plane. Some even imagine that a return to their star families aboard ship would somehow relieve and instantly transform them. But would it? And didn't you volunteer to come to Earth to fulfill some purpose? I mean, hello, didn't you? Have you fulfilled that purpose? Oh, obviously not, because you're still awakening in the same physical body and location each morning. So you're not allowed to leave until your soul contract and agreement has been completed. For some, that's, you know, a few hours in the hospital or the crib, or maybe in the womb itself. For others, it may be a very long lifetime, or any variation in between. But as long as you're here, you've still got work to do. So every one of you listening to these seminars are listening because you've chosen to serve a higher purpose. Otherwise, you wouldn't be interested in listening to me waffle on. So consider that you're part of the transformation team. You are part of a ginormous spiritual family. And you're always connected and in contact with each other, regardless of your location or whether you've even met physically. But when you do meet another member of your transition team, the recognition is immediate. So you've all been fulfilling your assigned portion, whether you're a beggar in Bangladesh or president, and any and all the roles in between. You're never not fulfilling your purpose. Your life is your message. Your life is your purpose. How you live it is your learning. Or you're trying and you're testing and your error and your correction, which is all part of your work. Your correction, your self-correction, your self-monitoring, your self-directives from your higher self into your personality are all part of your mission. It's not that you wait to some enlightened, fantastic stage of mastery to do your work. No. We do it the minute we go, wah, in the crib. We're on our mission from our first breath till our last. And it doesn't end with the last breath here, because you take the first breath in the next dimension and the work keeps going. However, let me tell you, your real growth happens here in the physical body. Because when you depart this dimension and you move into the afterlife, quote, quote, you simply take the state with you, which was your combined essence at departure. But you don't have any opportunity to shift that state on the inner. You pretty much stay in that state until you re-embody in that same state as your last lifetime and continue on where you left off. So those of you that think, oh, well, this doesn't matter what I do down here, it'll all happen for me when I die, think again, because that is not what the esoteric teachings teach us at all. So this life is incredibly important, if for no other reason, but that you value it for what it is and use it to the best possible degree that you can. You see, what we've come to do requires a physical body. Our higher purpose requires an ego mind, a false sense of identity, and our falling asleep and total forgetfulness. All of that was written into our soul contract and agreement. So it's here now in this body that we must awaken, and not when we depart this dimension, however that takes place. This is where transformation takes place, not in the afterlife. So the afterlife but maintains the same state of consciousness that we departed with, without the opportunity for further growth. So we simply reincarnate again at the same level attained in our previous lifetime, and we continue where we left off. Of course, we can study and prepare for our next incarnation, and we do that upon the inner planes and within the temples and ashrams located there, great educational complexes. But the arena of our putting that learning to the test is in the physical incarnation. So Earth is the testing and proving ground for self-mastery. And it's through our process of self-mastery that our higher purpose is fulfilled. So are you ready to know what that higher purpose is? This isn't something people talk about. I've never ever heard anyone teach about it either. So listen up, because here it is. We are here in Forgetful Land to integrate and unite the physical dimension with the light of spirit. As souls incarnated in physical bodies, we are the agents of redemption and reclamation. We are the means by which matter is returned to spirit. We are the only means by which matter is returned to spirit. In the esoteric teachings of the Tibetan master Dzogchen Khul, or DK, there are some very powerful names attributed with who we are as souls. The soul is called the son of sacrifice, for the soul willingly sacrifices the bliss of the divine realms where it is one with God to lower the conscious awareness to complete forgetfulness and ignorance and the deepest immersion in the material dimension, the deepest compression of light is matter, third dimensional matter. This material plane is the only place by which all of your seven principles can cooperate at the same time. In other words, as I often say, we as human beings are full spectrum analyzers. We can manifest, move into, process, and transcend every single nuance of consciousness, of awareness, all the way down to complete, how do you call it, like comatose state, where you're completely ignorant of the self. We are that full spectrum. And so far as I know, from what I understand from Sai Baba, we are the only ones on this planet, Earth, that have that particular composition. That's why human being, the Homo sapien, is very, very unique in our particular function. It's got a much deeper reality to it that I'm going to be going into tonight. But just begin to have some tea with these concepts that we're sharing with you, because each one is as a doorway into greater light. So we, as souls, are the transforming agents for the material elements of creation back into integration, into the pure spiritual light. And we do this through our own mind and body. As soul, we are and remain as God created us, in the spiritual realms, ever one with God, as pure spiritual light. So it's only when we as soul integrate with individualized mind and its egocentric me and mine point of view, do we densify our vibration into materiality. The ego mind enables soul to fully identify with the physical dimension and body. And it's from this densest point that our work must be accomplished, and every part of us and every point of view is serving in this return of matter to spirit. For example, you can't eat that the vibrations of that food doesn't pass through your whole body and get commingled with light. You can't breathe air, drink water, or interact with anyone in any way, shape, or form that you are not infusing that person and that substance with your light field. Think of your whole body as a field of light. It looks dense, but if you would look at it under a very high-powered microscope, you would see that it's particles and waves popping in and out of visibility. So no second are you the same. You're popping in and out of visibility, invisibility, again and again and again and again. And you're constantly changing. You're constantly manifesting light and weaving it into the quantum universe. You are a field of radiant transformative power. Even as you sit going, golly gee wow, as you listen, or maybe your eyes are glazing over and you're going, I don't have a clue what she's talking about. Well, part of you does, so hang in there. And consider another analogy. We must sleep in material creation, much like a seed planted deep in the soil. Like a seed, we will struggle to emerge into the light. And we will emerge from the earth, unfolding and manifesting our full latent potential. And that would look like a fully divine manifestation, like a Christ, an avatar, a great cosmic being. That's where we're headed. So we are like sleeping seeds of divinity sown into the material universe. But when we ripen and attain full maturity, we manifest the one divine life. I think those of you who relate to what we're sharing each week are probably in the final ripening stages. Some fully ripened. And you know, if you could see the light emanating from yourselves, you'd be absolutely stunned in amazement. Sometimes I'm allowed to see you on the inner planes, and I'm stunned in amazement because there is not one of you on this entire planet that isn't an absolute masterpiece of splendid divine glory. So you see, every thought, word, and action, with everything that you're involved with, you've been incorporating more of your soulific light into this material realm. 24/7, this has been going on. Every initiation, which is always a greater establishment at a higher level of light velocity, every initiation you pass through, more and more light has been integrated and has been anchored within this physical dimension. That's your work. That's what you're doing. That's your purpose. Now multiply that with all the countless millions who are in process of awakening at this time, and you'll see why this is the greatest moment of opportunity for personal and global healing and transformation ever. and we are here having this awakened discourse and awareness. How cool is that? How cool is that? I mean, really. Moreover, our entire spirit-mind-body complex is a perfect, perfect microcosmic replica of the macrocosm. As the old saying goes, as within, so without. As without, so within. So as soul, we are one unified life, replicated in countless perfect rays of divine consciousness, each quite unique in its exact resonance. So transfiguration, transcendence, and ascension occur, as well as levitation, when the centripetal and centrifugal energies join in perfect balance. Or when the energies of involution into matter and the energies of transcendency into light join in perfect balance. Then we have the divine liftoff. The process has been completed. The plan of returning matter to spirit has been fulfilled. And our job here, personally and collectively, has been accomplished. Well, obviously, since Earth is only in its 4.5 incarnations, or rounds, as it's called esoterically, we have a few more to go because the Earth is not completed with its maturation until it's reached the 7th round. Venus is in the 7th round already. It's already a completion in that particular world. And there's a great mystery involving the interplay between Venus and Earth, which, as I've said before, Venus is like the higher self or soul to the Earth, which is like the personality or the ego mind in terms of Venus. So there's a great interplay that takes place between the Medusian life stream and chain of worlds and the Earth chain of worlds. So we're part of a very, very big plan. Very big plan. Now, in previous ages, the work was at a very slow pace, and only occasionally one here and there would awaken. And they would be celebrated as a great master, or mystic, or saint. Today, however, there are so many awakening and initiating into higher degrees of light infusion and integration that we form now a collective body of light. And it is this collective soul body that we are each part of that is the driving catalyst for Earth's emergence into the current golden age. And for this, we have come. We've come anointed by the divine spirit with the power to heal, to reconcile, to extend the atonement, to love, and to impart the light of truth and grace wherever we are, with whomever we interact with. I mean, just think about that. Just think about that. How powerful is that? So we are the ones who reveal the light of the spirit that's hidden in the depths of darkness. We are the ones who evoke and call forward the light of awareness from unconscious ignorance. We are the ones who introduce the new era of light, the golden age upon earth. We are the ancient ones returning to establish and set in a new tone, a new resonance upon the earth, to sound forth a new collective harmonic. And that involves every one of us, wherever we are, whatever the role we've chosen to embody, we are fulfilling the divine design, which is the return of all creation to the light. We have spoken about the universe that we create personally, which is your physical body, your astral body, which is the realm of imagination, whatever you imagine, takes a form and a shape in your astral body. This is usually what forms the substance of your dreams at night. Then you have a causal body, which is made up of all of your emotions, the things that have played forth in your life that you have endowed with an emotive reaction that forms the world that surrounds you. That's called a causal body. Then you have the mental body, which is of two parts. You have the lower ego mind, which is the concrete, find your way to the grocery store and back level of mind and functioning. It's designed to help you get around in your life and in the world and remember things like your tax report and stuff. Very important, very necessary. And then you have the Buddhi, or the higher mind, the Christ mind, the divine mind, the Buddhic mind. That is pure awareness. It's the divine mind within you. Some equate that with the soul body. I don't. I use the cosmology that the travelers have taught. But if you study esotericism, you'll find that they equate the soul body very often with the causal plane, and again, very often with the Buddhic plane. So you might say in a certain sense they are somewhat reflecting that higher light into the personality. And then you have the realm of the unconscious, which some also equate with the mental plane. And this is the unconscious and the subconscious. And this has the blueprint that you have created through all of your passages through time and space and all of the collective input that has been taken into you from every experience you've ever had in every life. And it's this that causes the reactive, automatic, autopilot kind of unconscious life that most people live from. And that's what we call the karmic field that they're operating out of, which is purely conditioned by past experience. So last week we spoke about the function of the Holy Spirit as the inner master that we turn to when our mind is thinking in ways that are not aligned with truth, and we turn that thought over to that Holy Spirit dwelling within us as our inner master, called the inner knower, for correction and the action of the Holy Spirit within you brings restoration to sanity from those parts of the mind that are totally out of sync with divine truth. But that very process, you see, is again bringing light into those areas. And we can't do it alone, because if you think you as a human being going about largely unconscious, largely in the mode of ignorance, or at least conditioned very largely by your past, What part of that could possibly awaken without assistance? And that's why the Christ sent his Spirit in the form of the Holy Spirit to indwell and bring instant correction whenever we surrender our pain, our mistaken thoughts, our confusions, our angers, our whatever comes up, when we use that as our first line of resource. And we turn within with a simple breath and ask for correction. I don't like the way I'm feeling. That means I am looking at something that's unreal. I've bought into an illusion. The instant payoff of that is that I'm unhappy, I'm upset, and I don't feel clear in myself. Those are all signs that you are looking into the illusion and have identified with it. And then you just take that thought and you ask the Holy Spirit to give you God's thought. Give me God's thought here. Correct my mind, Holy Spirit. I don't like to feel this way. I want to feel the love of God. I want to experience the peace of God. I want to see through the eyes of Spirit, through the eyes of truth, through the eyes of my heart. And then that correction is just done for you. It's not a word level. It's an intention level. You don't even have to say the words. You just have to be aware that there is an answer within you. There is a teacher within you that has been given you by Almighty God as the corrective, atoning, bridging principle. It's the same for all people. It's the still, quiet voice. It's the voice of the silence. There are many, many names for it. But get to know it, and get to know it as your nearest and dearest and most powerful resource. Yes, it's the same as Sai Baba. Yes, it's the same as the Traveler. Yes, it's the same as the Ek. Yes, it's the same as the Mahanta. Yes, it's the same as whatever you want to call it. Doesn't matter what you call it. Just know that that's where you go for correction, for comfort, for revelation, for truth, and for everything else that keeps you from joy and peace. Joy and peace are the unmistakable characteristics of one who is correctly aligned with truth. When you have become fully light, that's all you'll experience. Joy and peace are the very hallmarks of an enlightened soul. And Baba says they are the proof of one who is a genuine yogi. What is a yogi? A person who is in union with God, who has taken upon themselves the yoke of Christ. All of those things mean the same thing. So, you see, as we live our life in the light, which last week we referred to the acronym of light being living in God's holy thoughts. And the holiest thought God has ever had is of the Christ, which is simply another name for you and me as soul. And so, you are the holiest thought God has ever had. And that holy thought is the very light that came into this world and took upon itself incarnation, took upon itself the clothing of flesh and skin, bone and blood. And in that, we are the sacred sanctuary in which the Christ is born, in this house of bread, this Bethlehem. And it comes through the process of awakening to light and manifesting its full divinity, as gradually the fleshly self itself is transfigured, transformed, and resurrected into a body of pure light. Now, many of you already are in purified bodies of light. You may look like you're very solid, but if you would in your imagination just suppose that you could see, and you can if you really look, if you could see your light body, your light field, what you look like in your energy essence, you will be shown. And it won't be an imagination, it will be quite true. The soul body, we've been called in the Bible, a flame burning before the throne of God. We've been called candles of the Lord. The Bible refers to us as God's ministers of flame. So the soul body looks very much like an effulgent, radiant, glory glorious body of radiance. It's hard to even put a word to it. I can see it so clearly. And one time when I was on the inner realms, I was allowed to see the transfigurative process in one of the initiates that I was being allowed to sit in and look. And each of the cells of this person's body looked very much like a gas flame. You know, if you look at a gas flame, you'll find that there's a blue, a very bright blue around the base. And then there's pure white. And then there's gold. And then if there's a lot of air in the flame, it'll be red and orange towards the top. But look sometimes at the variations of the color of a gas flame. And you'll see a replication of the transfiguration of the energy of the cell into light. The blue and the purpley tones are the transmutation and the inner working of higher consciousness at this level. The divine higher mind is represented as blue, the transmutation as purple. And then you'll see the pure white as the God essence or the monadic spirit essence. Then you'll see the gold, which is the soul essence. And then you'll see the red and the orange, which are the causal bodies. And the red and the yellow would be, or the more of the yellow into the orange, would represent the Buddhi or the divine intellect as it interfaces with the causal body. In this instant, the causal body holds the seeds, the permanent atoms, which contain your kind of like your your karmic repository. So that each lifetime you have a bank account where you put the things you've deposited at the different levels into a permanent atom, which you carry from life to life and build into and incorporate into your next incarnation. So nothing's ever lost, ever. So the whole body is actually made up of light. And the colors indicate the level of light velocity at which the bodies and the subtle bodies are vibrating at. And you live within this whole universe of your own creation, as you're working through and clearing your karmic fields, you're literally in your own world of your own making. But there's a point in which you transcend the world of your making, which would be the soul realms, and you pop into what's called the far country or the God realms. And those are the realms that you begin to see the pure white light, and it goes lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter until finally it goes into cream and then pale, 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 and then transparency, and then light that you can't see anymore. It's no longer in the visible spectrum because it's in the absolute realms. That's the true clarity with a capital C of divine presence. And all of those states are within you right now. They're gradient degrees of awakening, gradient degrees of seership. So you go from your own creations that you've conditioned with your own passages through time and space and incarnations and working within these various realms to the pure realms of God, which are birthless, deathless, immortal, pure truth. And we're headed into those realms. I'm not going to be so presumptuous as to talk about them, other than to say one thing. Because I've been working into those realms, going in and out of them, and there was nothing there. No thing there that you could see or relate to at all. And so my question was, well, how does creation happen in these realms? If there's no lower mind, if there's no otherness, if there's pure being, pure Satchitananda, how does creation proceed? Because I understand that there is ongoing creation, although at a level of which we do not know at this level yet. Although that's our ultimate, you know, we're headed into those levels, but we're not conscious in them yet. And to be conscious, you sort of have to have an awareness of an otherness to be conscious. So you catch my drift? So when you're in the realm of pure being, the response I got, presumably from Sai Baba speaking within my heart, my knowing, was that creation proceeds through bliss. That the ecstasy of God is what creates at that level. So all I could do was go, wow. But what I want to share here is that your life, your potentiality, your expression is now, is forever, and always will be a divine action. Again, action is the wrong word. A divine manifestation, maybe that's a clearer word. And there's no end. You're not going to die and go to heaven and sit on a cloud. You're not going to be unemployed when you leave the physical world. And to use again a phrase from the Bible, when you just don't know where else to go, we go from glory to glory, revelation to revelation. And whenever the word glory is spoken of in the scriptures, it applies to those transcendental God realms, where you're in the divine throne kingdom and the workings of this higher kingdom. That even as we sit here, we're seated in our Christ self with the Christ in these heavenly realms, in Shambhala, in the throne world, worlds of the Most High, in the great central sun, the great solar logos. We're there now. And that's the strange thing, is that even though we feel like we're in time and space and a physical body, we're really not. We are sending projections of consciousness like data probes into the densification of time-space. And the data perceptor is like our body here. But in highest truth, we've never left the heart of God. So you move your awareness to those ultimates, and then you move them back into the physical. And as you keep moving your inner awareness in and out of those divine states, in and out of those layers of light, and you keep penetrating deeper and deeper, you form what is called that interconnective bridge, so that you develop a continuity of consciousness, so that you don't lose awareness. When you fall asleep at night and you go into spirit, you remain the same person. And you don't lose continuity of awareness when you step from this plane to the next. And when you've had dreams on the inner planes, which sometimes you have, where you fall asleep in a dream and you wake up in a dream, but you haven't awakened up in your physical body. Or sometimes you'll have a dream where you faint in your dream. Or you might even have a dream where you die in your dream. What's happening is that you are transitioning from one level on the inner planes to the next level. So that's multidimensional shifts that your lower mind interprets as fainting or dying or falling asleep or having a dream within a dream. So pay attention to these ways that your consciousness is moving. Because it's something that's divine. You are part and parcel of divinity revealing itself in greater glory. And as an exercise for this week, if you'd like to try it, I suggest that you sit down in front of a mirror and look into your own eyes, realizing that they are stargates into infinity. They are the windows into the soul realm. They are entrances into eternal light. And use your eyes and just go traveling into the light field of your God self, right through your own eyes. You can also do this with a good photograph of your master teacher, Jesus, Sai Baba, John Roger, Sri Harold, you know, whoever your spiritual master is. You can use their eyes also, because the eye and light are identical. Course of Miracles has a lesson that let's see if I can remember it. God is the light in which I see. God is the light in which I see. So seeing your eye, the geometry of the eye, sacred geometry, and light are identical. So use your own eyes to go into the inner self. You can also do this sitting across from another person but not touching, where you look into each other's eyes. You look beyond the form, beyond the being shy and all of that stuff, and you use the eyes of your partner to go into God, to go into the realms of light. These are all just wonderful ways to acquire for yourself a genuine experience that transcends the physical body and the physical world. So travel, penetrate, go deeper and deeper. Immerse yourself fully in the light, in God's holy thoughts. But remember, you are the holiest thought of God, and you are the Christed One. So let's go out chanting on IHU, and I do pray that this has been helpful for you this evening. Take a deep breath. You chant, you can go into the silence and just chant that in your mind and ride that energy. Q is the closest approximation that you could get to Hashem, the name of God that can never be spoken because it's beyond all language. But the hue reflects that divine essence into the mind, and you can use it to travel into the presence of the Beloved. So God evening, and God bless you. Adonai.